Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 18th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as earnings season gets off to a rocky start.
Shares of Netflix tumble after the company loses U.S. subscribers.
Earnings in Europe disappoint as results from SAP and Richemont fall short.
And trade talks between the U.S. and China stall.
Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. shot itself in the foot for pulling out of the 2015 nuclear accord. Plus, President Trump continues his attacks against freshman lawmakers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees and Rays both lost to Mother Nature. Mets sweep first place Minnesota, and golf's Open Championship is underway.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European shares are tracking losses in Asia today. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures down 54. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. CAC in Paris down 0.5%. The FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 9 cents at $56.87 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 70 cents at $14.22.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1232 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.78. And we do have earnings crossing the Bloomberg. United Health reporting a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, and it raised its view for the year. Nathan.
Hey, Karen. Meantime, we continue to watch shares of Netflix tumble in the pre-trade after its earnings fell short of estimates. They're now down 11% in the pre-market after Netflix reported a drop in U.S. customers and slowing growth overseas. We get more from Bloomberg's John Ehrlichman.
It was a big miss. Netflix itself is acknowledging it's going to be a very difficult couple of years. You've got Disney coming out with their streaming service, a bunch of other players that are going to be launching services. They acknowledge the fact that in some markets where they were raising prices in anticipation of some of those new services, they got to get those price hikes in before the other services launch. That may have hurt their subscriber numbers, but people do tend to freak out when Netflix falls short.
And Netflix lost 130,000 U.S. customers while adding 2.8 million international subscribers in the second quarter. That was half of what the company predicted.
Those results from Netflix weighed on sentiment in Asia overnight, with traders worrying it could be an ominous sign for earnings season. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Shares slid across most of the region. Equity indexes in Tokyo down around 2%. A Nikkei report that Canon's operating profit could plunge 40% this year, weighing on sentiment along with a stronger yen. It was, in fact, the worst session for Japanese stocks in more than 3 months, also impacted by weak export numbers, showing shipments fell for a seventh straight month in June. The Kospi also lower in South Korea despite a rate cut from the Bank of Korea, which surprised some in the market. Korea's central bank also cutting its inflation and growth targets amid the global economic slowdown, but the won gained. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. The rate cut from South Korea failed to stem a slide in stocks, with the Kospi closing a third of a percent lower. Mark Cranfield is global macro strategist for Bloomberg.
It must be a bit disconcerting for people who think that the Fed is going to bail everybody out with a rate cut later this month. The reaction has not been all that positive. It's not just Asian stocks which are lower. We're also seeing the S&P 500 futures falling as well. So central banks will supposedly give more liquidity, is supposed to improve the mood of the equity market. That is not happening. And so with the Fed coming along later this month, it could be a bit of a worry here. If investors were relying on that, this is not a good sign.
South Korea's benchmark rate is now just 0.25% above a record low, and bond markets suggest the central bank will cut rates again this year.
On the heels of those poor results from Netflix, we're also seeing earnings fall short in Europe. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. We have some major companies posting sales declines and cutting their forecasts. German software company SAP is reporting a decrease in growth and new cloud bookings. Richemont is out with a surprise drop in revenue from its watch business, and fashion retailer ASOS is cutting its profit guidance. That has stocks in Europe lower across the board, though we do have some positive results from Novartis. The Swiss drug maker is raising its earnings outlook for the second time this year. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Roger, as we mentioned, it's a busy day for earnings here in the U.S. as well. Along with United Health's results, we get earnings reports from more than two dozen companies, including Morgan Stanley, Honeywell, and Microsoft. Watch for those Morgan Stanley earnings just before 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
Facebook doesn't report until next week, but the company is feeling the heat today after 2 days of battering on Capitol Hill. Members of the House grilled Facebook's head of blockchain yesterday about its proposed digital currency. Now the chair of the House Financial Services Committee wants CEO Mark Zuckerberg to appear before Congress. Maxine Waters spoke to Bloomberg Radio.
This is a big idea that's born out of Facebook. If he's big enough to create an idea that is global in nature, then he should be big enough to come and talk to us about it.
House Financial Services Chairwoman Maxine Waters speaking with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On. You can catch Sound On weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
On the trade front, when it comes to talks between the U.S. and China, slow progress is raising doubts about whether they'll actually return to the negotiating table. Both sides are reportedly far apart on initial demands concerning sanctions on Huawei and the purchase of U.S. agricultural products. We get more from Bloomberg's Christine Burke.
The latest headlines making the rounds are that these talks have stalled, and really that comes down to Huawei, at least according to the reports from Dow Jones. There's also a piece out in the Global Times saying that Beijing wants to see the U.S. become a bit more realistic about purchases of American goods, so basically wants the U.S. to start targeting some more realistic level of purchases if talks are going to go ahead and negotiations are going to get back on track.
Sources tell Bloomberg the prospect of a comprehensive trade agreement ahead of the 2020 election seems like a remote possibility. Bloomberg News has also learned that Beijing wants the White House to issue licenses for companies to resume shipments to Huawei before buying more U.S. crops.
And we are watching some earnings again this morning. As we said, United Health reported a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, and it raised its outlook for the year. Danaher also reported second quarter profit and sales that beat. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Iran's foreign minister is criticizing the White House for pulling out of the 2015 nuclear agreement. Javad Zarif tells Bloomberg Iran will continue to breach caps on enriched uranium.
The United States has basically, in my view, shot itself in the foot by withdrawing from this agreement.
At the same time, the foreign minister claims Iran will not build a nuclear weapon because of religious beliefs.
The supreme leader had made a commitment, a religious commitment, which is not breakable. His religious view is that nuclear weapons are forbidden.
In a wide-ranging interview with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite, Iran's foreign minister also addressed recent violence in the Strait of Hormuz, saying Iran could close the waterway but does not want to.
We certainly have the ability to do it, but we certainly don't want to do it because Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf are our lifeline.
About one-third of the world's seaborne crude passed through the Strait of Hormuz last year. In May and June, six tankers were attacked in the region. President Trump attended a rally in North Carolina last night. President Trump kept up his criticism of the four freshman congresswomen. The president made claims that Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar has made anti-Semitic statements in the past.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
The crowd was chanting, "Send her back." Omar came to the U.S. as a refugee from war-torn Somalia as a child. The Defense Department says the Trump administration will deploy about 2,100 more troops to help secure the southern land border of the United States. The House has voted that Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross are in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with subpoenas related to a decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. The House has also rebuffed a bid to impeach President Trump. Financier Jeffrey Epstein is set to find out today whether he will be granted bail. A federal judge in New York has taken several days to think about it and is set to decide whether to grant Epstein's request to be let out on bail while he is being prosecuted for sex trafficking. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets may have struggled in the first half, but that's why they play 162 games.
Alonso hits one in the air, way back to left. This one's headed to the upper deck and halfway up it. Pete Alonso with a titanic home run. How's that for your home run derby myth?
Mets radio 14-4. They wallop the Twins in the Twin Cities to sweep the brief two-game set. They've won four in a row. Alonso asked about admiring his home run afterwards. Hard not to, especially for a rookie.
No, I mean, it just felt good off the bat, and I just knew it was gone as soon as I hit it. That's all I got. That's why I got to watch it a little bit if you get a ball so you know where it goes.
Jason Vargas turned in a quality start, earning the win, as it's on to San Francisco to meet another surging team, the Giants, who've won five in a row, and they've climbed out of the cellar into third place. First pitch is at 9:45. Noah Syndergaard takes on lefty Madison Bumgarner. Across the bay, the A's are the hottest team in the show. They've won six straight. They down Seattle 10-2. Top two teams in the East, the Yankees and Rays, were postponed at the stadium. They'll try for a doubleheader starting this afternoon. In golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship is underway from Royal Portrush in Ireland. American Charlie Hoffman off to a good start. He's atop the leaderboard in a logjam at 3 under par. He's on the back nine. Phil Mickelson struggled on the front. Tiger Woods tees off at 10:10 Eastern, just 10 minutes after Dustin Johnson. And that is your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, United Talent Agency, the Hollywood firm that represents Angelina Jolie and Harrison Ford, is getting into the professional sports market in a deal with LeBron James's agent. Rich Paul's Clutch Sports represents James, Anthony Davis, and several other NBA superstars. The companies say UTA made a significant investment in Clutch, though they didn't provide more specific terms. S&P futures down almost 5 points. Dow futures down 50. NASDAQ futures down 22.5. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Shares of Netflix are tumbling after the company lost customers in the U.S. and missed its global sign-up target. Shares of IBM slipped after saying its Red Hat acquisition will dilute full-year earnings. Microsoft reports after the close, and it'll be all about cloud services. Meanwhile, SAP's cloud business hit a bump, with bookings growth slowing, sending shares tumbling in Frankfurt. U.S.-China trade talks are still stalled. The Global Times says China insists the U.S. remove all extra tariffs and provide realistic targets for its purchases of U.S. goods. And the House is holding Wilbur Ross and William Barr in contempt of Congress for refusing to hand over documents related to the citizenship census question. At the same time, the House rebuffed a bid to impeach President Trump over last weekend's tweets. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down about 4 points. Dow futures down 44. NASDAQ futures down about 19. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.82%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 26 cents at $57.04 a barrel. And COMEX gold down about 0.1% on $1.10 to $14.2220 an ounce. The euro 1.1230 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2480 and the yen 107.75. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. shot itself in the foot by pulling out of the nuclear accord with Tehran. In an interview with Bloomberg, Javad Zarif also accused European countries that are part of the agreement of failing to carry out their own commitments under the 2015 deal and after the U.S. withdrawal. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting the U.S. is preparing to send 500 troops to Saudi Arabia in response to rising tensions with Iran. President Trump kept up his criticism of four freshman congresswomen at a rally in North Carolina last night. President Trump did not back down from saying they should go back to where they came from if they don't like it here. In baseball, the Mets won going away against the Twins 14-4. The Yankees game was postponed. The Orioles downed the Nationals 9-2. The Red Sox, the A's, and the Giants were all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:20 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we continue to watch earnings roll in, we get results from Morgan Stanley later on this morning. Here with us to preview that, Bloomberg News investment banking reporter Shanali Bosick. Nice to talk with you again, Shanali. And I guess the story this earnings season has been how the banks have been hit by lower rates. Will that trend continue when Morgan Stanley reports later this morning?
It's certainly something to think about. Something that's interesting about Morgan Stanley, it's more heavily weighted in its trading and investment banking operations than the other banks are. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that the consumer really carried the banks in this quarter where trading was down. Morgan Stanley's consumer operation is very different. They have a wealth management division, but they're not like Bank of America or J.P. Morgan, where they just have a large retail bank.
Now, with the wealth management business being such a heavy part of Morgan Stanley's portfolio, could that see a boost? I mean, given where valuations are right now.
It's funny because every quarter it can be pretty volatile. It took a big hit at the end of last year, but the brokers are really what carried them in the last quarter when the investment banking was down. James Gorman, the CEO, likes to call it the ballast on the ship and what keeps the bank steady when times are rough. So we're definitely going to want to see strong figures there since Bank of America had them as well.
Now, what do you be looking for in terms of the equity trade? I mean, Goldman Sachs particularly bucked the trend there compared to the other financials we've seen report so far.
So that's really tough for Morgan Stanley to stomach, I'm sure. So when you look at it, Goldman being a surprise jump and Morgan Stanley is expected to be down. Morgan Stanley is the number one stock trading shop in the world. So to see one of their biggest rivals place a surprise jump is not a fun thing to see this quarter. So we're going to want to see them hold steady and be higher in absolute numbers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting also, I bet, to see how Morgan Stanley repositions itself now that Deutsche Bank's gotten out of the equity business.
That's for sure. And you've got to wonder, if you look at it, you would think that Deutsche Bank's exit from equities would help the smaller players like Citigroup and Bank of America. But JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, they fight for number one in equities. And Morgan Stanley is number one. I don't know necessarily that there is that much share for the number one shop to gain. But let's see what they say today.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of signaling have we gotten so far from the banks in terms of how they are positioning themselves with Deutsche out of the picture?
Citigroup definitely hinted that there was more room to gain share. They would say that also. They actually just hired a bunch of Deutsche Bank ex-employees also. Bank of America didn't say much. And like I said, they're the two that I would really expect to gain from this. So we'll see how it moves moving forward. Remember, European bank earnings are in about a week. Maybe UBS, maybe Credit Suisse may also have some share gain there.
Now, cost-cutting's been a story for some of these banks as well. How do you expect Morgan Stanley to address that?
Interestingly, last quarter, people really wanted to talk about cost-cutting. This quarter, people have been much more careful to talk about cost-cutting because they want to show investors that they're investing. This is a highly competitive banking environment right now, and banks want their investors to know that they're putting enough money into their businesses to stay ahead.
Does it get more competitive in this lower rate environment that we seem to be pushing even further toward?
Oh, definitely. If margins are being squeezed, then you definitely want to show people how you're making money.
So what are you going to be looking for most closely when Morgan Stanley reports in just about an hour now?
So one of the things you already hit the nail on the head was the equities business. We're going to want to see them not only hold steady, at least meet expectations, if not beat expectations. We're expecting a decline, but holding steady is important here. The thing that's interesting too, on top of equities, Morgan Stanley is also the top prime brokerage, which means it services the most hedge fund clients in terms of revenue. So JP Morgan said their business hit a record, and there's a lot of movement in that business also with Deutsche Bank getting out. So
yeah. Shanali Bosak, Bloomberg News investment banking reporter. Again, Morgan Stanley reports before the bell this morning. We will have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. And S&P futures ahead of the bell down 3 points. Dow futures down 44. NASDAQ futures down 17 and a half. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. What will Netflix's disappointing earnings mean when it comes to the tone for tech? Plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world amid deepening concerns about the outlook for corporate earnings and global trade. On the earnings front, shares of Netflix are down more than 10% after the company reported a drop in U.S. customers and slower growth overseas. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The world's largest paid online TV network said it lost 130,000 customers in the U.S., the result of higher prices and a weak slate. It signed up 2.7 million subscribers globally in the period, also missing projections. The company forecasts 7 million new signups this quarter, as several top shows such as Stranger Things and Orange is the New Black return to the service. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Shares of IBM are down 1%. The company reported its fourth consecutive quarterly revenue decline, and executives did not answer questions on how its Red Hat acquisition will help growth in cloud computing.
Alcoa shares dropped more than 3% in late trading. It cut its forecast for global aluminum demand for the second time in 3 months.
In Germany, shares of SAP are down 6.5%. The software maker's new cloud bookings slowed in the second quarter.
This morning, we get another reading on the banking industry when Morgan Stanley reports earnings. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Morgan Stanley's second quarter revenue may have been hurt by lower trading, though asset prices should help support pre-tax margins for the company's wealth unit. Equity IPO fees were likely a source of strength in the second quarter, and a pickup in announced mergers and acquisitions should fuel the outlook for the third quarter. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And on the trade front, when it comes to talks between the U.S. and China, slow progress on initial demands from Presidents Trump and Xi is raising doubts about whether both sides will return to the negotiating table. Bloomberg News has also learned that Beijing wants the White House to issue licenses for companies to resume shipments to Huawei before it will buy more U.S. crops.
We do have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. European Central Bank staff have begun studying a potential revamp of their inflation goal. That's according to officials familiar with the matter. It's a move that could embolden policymakers to pursue monetary stimulus for longer. And Honeywell reporting second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Right now, S&P futures are down about 3 points, NASDAQ futures down about 17, Dow futures down 39, and the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.04%, yield on the 2-year 1.81%, and the euro at 1.1213 against the dollar. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. This just in, Iran's state TV says Revolutionary Guard forces have seized a foreign tanker with 12 crew aboard a smuggled oil tanker. The seizure comes as tensions mount between the United States and Iran over the unraveling nuclear deal between Tehran and world powers. Meanwhile, Iran's top diplomat, in a Bloomberg interview, addressed U.S. allegations that his country has never given up its goal of building nuclear weapons. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Even as Iran says it's enriching uranium to higher levels than its nuclear deal allowed, and as its foreign minister tells Bloomberg that Iran has the ability to pursue nuclear weapons very rapidly, Javad Zarif says Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei made a religious commitment which is not breakable.
His religious view is that nuclear weapons are forbidden. Haram in Islamic terminology.
Pressed by Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite on how to engage with the U.S. in a way that eases tensions, Zarif suggested the burden falls on President Trump. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump went after four freshman Democratic lawmakers after previously tweeting that they should go back to their home countries. At a rally last night in Greenville, North Carolina, Trump began by verbally attacking Representative Ilhan Omar as the crowd chanted, "Send her back." The president also says he has a message to, quote, hate-filled extremists on the left.
They're always telling us how to run it, how to do this, how to do that. You know what? If they don't love it, tell them to leave it.
The House has voted on two issues involving the Trump administration. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The first, the House has voted that Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross are in criminal contempt of Congress. This involves allegations that they're withholding documents on the now-canceled plans to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. And it also has rebuffed the bid to impeach Donald Trump amid resistance from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have six committees that are working on following the facts in terms of any abuse of power, obstruction of justice, and the rest.
This motion was more narrowly based on the weekend tweets that have been characterized by Democrats as racist. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says he objects to a consent vote on the bill to extend the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. Paul on the Senate floor says there first needs to be a debate on where the money will come from.
We need to address our massive debt in this country. We have a $22 trillion debt. We're adding debt at about $1 trillion a year.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets just didn't sweep anybody. They took down first place Minnesota and on the road.
0-2. Smith swings, high fly, deep right field. Marwin Gonzalez spun around, and he watches this one clear for a home run. That hang over the fence and right. If it clears the limestone, it's a big fly, and Dom Smith delivers in a pinch, literally.
New York scoring 12 of their 14 in the final three innings, which included a tape measure upper deck blast from home run champion and rookie Pete Alonso. Don't sleep on the Mets just yet, says manager Mickey Callaway.
It gives us some momentum going into another series, a four-game series against a team that we can do some more damage against and continue to strive for our goal, and that's to make the postseason. Look, we're getting closer. We're inching closer and closer. It's not out of the realm of possibility, and that's what we're focusing our sights on, is getting into the postseason this year.
His optimistic tone, thanks to them winning four straight, as it's on to the West Coast, where they'll take on the Giants tonight at 9:45. Madison Bumgarner hosts Noah Syndergaard. Giants have won five in a row after a four-game sweep in Colorado. Oakland's the hottest team in the show. They picked up their sixth straight, clubbing Seattle 10-2. L.A. Dodgers two-hit Philadelphia, winning 7-2, and Boston edged Toronto 5-4. Tampa Bay and New York were postponed in the Bronx. They'll play at Twinville starting this afternoon. And they're off and running at the 148th Open Championship from Northern Ireland's Royal Portrush. It's a five-way tie atop the leaderboard at 3-under par. They're on the back nine. Meanwhile, Tiger doesn't tee off till 10:10 Eastern. He's 10 minutes behind American Dustin Johnson. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. Coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
In recent years, Washington's foreign policy establishment has argued for patience as Turkey's President Erdogan has railed ever more belligerently against the U.S. and Europe. Erdogan's fusillades were thought to be a minor inconvenience, certainly not enough for the West to abandon Turkey. Alas, the time has come to acknowledge a greater inconvenience. Turkey has, for all intents and purposes, abandoned the West. Erdogan's decision to take delivery of Russian S-400 missile defense systems is a finger in NATO's eye. Turkey has also escalated tensions with Europe by sending natural gas exploration vessels into waters claimed by Cyprus. These are deliberate provocations. Erdogan seems to have calculated that his security interests are better served by an alliance with Russia, and that Donald Trump will give him a free pass for switching sides. Instead, he must face the consequences. The West should take Erdogan at his word and prepare to move on without him. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Most medical practices can't afford the industry-standard $20,000 screening device used to diagnose rare eye diseases. So now there's an app for that. Gobiquity is the 20-employee startup in Nashville behind Go Check Kids, the first iPhone app registered with the Food and Drug Administration to screen young children for correctable vision impairment with a simple photo. A pediatrician uses Gobiquity's app on an iPhone to photograph a child's eyes, highlighted by the phone's flashlight from a distance of about 3.5 feet. GoCheck software analyzes how light refracts off the patient's eyes to identify risks for nearsightedness, farsightedness, or eye cancer or other diseases. It's meant to reduce the risk of permanent vision loss among the 18 million American kids younger than age 6. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, thank you, John. Coming up on the economic front today, we get the Labor Department's weekly snapshot on employment. Economists forecast jobless claims edged higher last week to 216,000. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Jobless claims are historically low, the lowest in a half century. They've been below 300,000, which had been considered the benchmark for a healthy labor market since 2015, with the exception of a single blip in 2017. This time of year, we could see some volatility due to seasonal furloughs in the auto industry. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Vinny, EU antitrust regulators have fined Qualcomm $272 million. The company was accused of pricing some chips so low they could eliminate a smaller rival. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we dig into Netflix's disappointing earnings with Paul Sweeney and check in on what's happening in the nation's capital with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading lower amid an 11% plunge in Netflix. Dow futures down 35 points, S&P's dropped 2.5, and NASDAQ futures declined by 16. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.06%, while European markets are trading mixed right now. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Philly Fed and initial jobs claims, and at 10 o'clock, the leading index. After the bell last night, Netflix Q2 subscriber adds missed estimates, IBM operating EPS topped estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, UNH beat, Honeywell was mixed, and look for Philmorse to report around 7 a.m., Morgan Stanley, 7:30. Wrapping things up, Qualcomm was downgraded to Equate at Barclays, and Apple was upgraded to Outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg time, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump drew cheers last night at a rally in North Carolina as he criticized the four liberal congresswomen of color he's been attacking all week. Trump called the House Democrats hate-filled extremists who want to tear down the country. El Chapo spent his first night in his forever home, the country's most secure prison, after being sentenced to life plus 30 years. Almost immediately after a federal judge in Brooklyn imposed the life sentence, drug lord Joaquin Guzman was taken out of New York and put on a plane toward ADX Florence, the nation's most secure supermax prison in Colorado. In baseball, the Mets were winners. The Yankees game postponed. The Orioles down the Nationals. The Red Sox, the A's, and the Giants all winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street, and we do continue to watch shares of Netflix in the pre-market down nearly 11%. This morning after earnings fell short of estimates with a drop in U.S. customers and slowing growth overseas. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Markets host and erstwhile media analyst Paul Sweeney. I'm sure a lot of Wall Street watchers are dusting off their Stranger Things metaphors to describe this second quarter for Netflix. Is this the start of a trend in terms of where subscriber growth is headed for the streaming service?
You know, it's really uncertain, Nathan. The company came back with some pretty strong guidance for subscriber adds in the third quarter, suggesting that from their perspective, they do not think this is a trend. But this was a really big miss for the company, because this is a stock that's really driven off of momentum, not earnings momentum or revenue momentum, but subscriber momentum. And they missed subscriber net adds both in the U.S. and, more importantly, internationally, which is going to be the long-term growth driver for this company. So it was a big miss. We're seeing that in the stock this morning, off 11%. And the real question is, what really drove the miss? Was it the price increase? Was it the lack of some really compelling programming in the quarter? It's probably a combination of both of those things. And those are things that this company is going to have to deal with going forward, because we're going to get a lot more competition in the streaming business coming up. So if there was a programming issue, I'm not sure that's something that's going to be getting easier for the company going forward.
Well, what are Netflix executives saying about that? Are they worried about looming competition coming from all these sources, especially next year?
Yeah, it's interesting. They said, you know, they're not worried per se, but they certainly recognize that this is how the business was going. And so what they've noticed over the last couple of years is they've recognized that their traditional programming suppliers, whether it's the Disney company or Paramount or Warner Brothers, that those companies eventually would start pulling back the content that they were licensing to Netflix. And in response, Netflix over the last several years has really been ramping up its original programming. And so they will spend anywhere between $12 and $15 billion on programming this year at Netflix, by far the biggest in Hollywood, and approximately half of that will be on original programming. So they recognize that this was going to be a competitive dynamic going forward. They've been trying to prepare for it, but the question remains is, how will their programming stack up without some of the other programming that they've relied upon in the past?
You know, when you talk about that heavy spend that Netflix has done for you know, quite some time now, how worried are analysts about that?
You know, if you just judge by the stock price, not that worried. This stock has always been driven by, you know, what I call the virtuous cycle, which is you add more subscribers. Those subscribers generate revenue and cash flow, which allows you to invest more in programming, which then presumably drives more subscriber growth, and on it goes. So, again, that's why this story has really been driven by subscriber growth. That has allowed the company to fund their ever-increasing programming budget. But the real issue for investors is that this company has to borrow money to fund its programming, because it is net cash flow negative. It does not generate enough cash flow to support its business, so it has to borrow money in the bond market. And so this company will be net cash flow negative of about $3.5 billion this year. They say that their free cash flow will improve going forward, but that is, again, all predicated upon getting more and more subscribers. So when you have a big subscriber miss like we had here in this quarter, it really calls into question that kind of that virtuous cycle, if you will.
Bloomberg's Paul Sweeney, we look forward to hearing more on this from you on Bloomberg Surveillance this morning with you and Tom Keene. Now let's check what's happening in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump meeting today with Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan heading to Capitol Hill as the president orders 2,100 more troops to the southern border, and the House holding Attorney General Barr and Commerce Secretary Ross in contempt over their plans for a census citizenship question. And also making news this morning, President Trump finding support from his base as he continues his rhetorical attacks on four left-wing congresswomen of color. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Tough to ignore the chants from North Carolina this morning, Kate. It's gone from lock her up now to send her back.
Yeah, and I think that's really a good comparison there, because we know that resonated very strongly with Trump's base, lock her up, in 2016. And the chant that we heard last night from audience members in a battleground state of North Carolina that Trump won narrowly 3 years ago is one that I think we could hear again going forward, because it encapsulates a lot of the themes that we're seeing from Trump as he gets his 2020 campaign geared up.
And as we say, it sounds a lot like a strategy the president deployed when he first ran for election. But the dynamic is different compared to Hillary Clinton, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit different. I mean, in this case, Congressman Omar isn't running for president, so it's not someone that Trump is running directly against. However, in a way, it functions the same way, because there's a very wide field of Democratic candidates right now, nearly two dozen of them running for president. And so this allows Trump to kind of focus the debate on his own terms and bring in concepts of immigration and what it really means to be an American citizen. And those are issues of race and religion. And those are issues that resonate strongly with his base. It goes to his original 2016 campaign theme of Make America Great Again. And so I think that we're likely to see this, rhetoric continue going forward, because it's Trump essentially redefining the presidential debate on his own terms, which is something that he's very, very good at doing and has really benefited him so far as a candidate.
But it raises the question again, as it did in 2016, doesn't it, about whether the president can build beyond his base as he looks ahead to 2020?
Well, absolutely it does. But I think what we've seen so far, and obviously that's going to be a very key question, is how many of the folks that supported Trump who might not be considered part of his base, well, of course, that's a fluid thing, but, how many of those people will come back to the polls and vote again for him in 2020? How many of those people will stay home, and how many of those people might vote for a Democrat instead? And I think that's really what this election is going to turn on. But the second point on which this election is likely to turn is which side is able to most energize their base and get them to the polls. And I think what we've seen from Trump so far is every indication that he's going to run hard to the right. He's going to run appealing to his base. There's not been a whole lot of indication that he's going to try to woo independent voters here. And I think this is just a continuation of that. And that seems to be his electoral strategy heading into 2020.
And now we're starting to see this strategy spill over into the debate over whether to impeach the president with those articles of impeachment from Texas Congressman Al Green, focused specifically on the president's rhetoric. What does that mean for the Democratic coalition?
Well, I think, again, it just shows how skilled Trump is and in making the debate occur on his part of the field. Once again, we're talking about Democrats being divided over impeachment, how, Nancy Pelosi isn't necessarily able to keep everyone in her conference away from tackling the impeachment issue. And that's exactly the type of conversation that Trump would like to be having and Trump supporters would like to be having right now, as opposed to talking about what Democrats want to be talking about, which is what they're going to do in their minds to help the middle class and erase some of the inequality that Trump has, that they argue that Trump has brought in terms of economic policies.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. Read more from Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. We are watching more earnings crossing the Bloomberg Blackstone reporting assets under management that beat the highest analyst estimates. We heard from United Health earlier. It boosted its profit outlook for the year after posting better than expected earnings per share in the second quarter. And we also heard from Honeywell earlier, its second quarter profit beating analyst estimates. And futures this morning are a little changed to lower, with S&P futures down 1.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 21. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.